You see, the move of the Spirit is the prerequisite set up that must happen before God will ever get anything done. It is what must happen for God to accomplish anything. The Bible says in Genesis 1 from verse 1 to 2, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So when God wanted to create the heaven and the earth, the Spirit of God moved. Are you with me? You see, the Spirit of God is a person, and he can be present but not active. Did you hear what I just said? Like, for instance, I can be in this service and just sit down. I can be in this service but not moving. I can be in this service but not active. And so, the Holy Ghost can be present in a generation, in a city, in a person's life, but is not moving. There's no action. So when the Holy Ghost becomes active, a move has started. And let me tell you something. This activity of the Spirit, this move of the Spirit, is the most important thing that must happen before God gets a thing done. Are you with me? It's the most important thing. See, I want you to realize how serious this is. It's the most important thing. Isaiah 32 from verse 15. Let me tell you something. Without the move of the Spirit, you cannot produce any divine results. You can do something with your intellect. You can do something with your effort. But without the Spirit of God to produce a divine result, your intellect and your effort will be a total waste of time. Are you with me? Everybody read Isaiah 32 from verse 15. 1, 2, 3, go. He's saying, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. Let me put it in a way you will get it. He says, only then can the wilderness become a fruitful field. And only then can the fruitful field become a forest. So, as you can see from this verse, there are different levels of fruitfulness. From a wilderness to a fruitful field. But from a fruitful field, you can also become a forest. Are you with me? Let me tell you, some people have had the move of the Spirit in their life at different times. Sometimes, they can have that move of the Spirit and they move from being a complete wilderness to having some trees. And maybe just some grasses around. But it's telling you, for you to move further from that point to the next point, you need to now move. Are you with me? You must desire and seek a new move. You know that old song we used to sing? Holy Spirit, move me now. Make my life whole again. Spirit, move over me. Spirit, move over me. There's an old one we used to sing. Ride on Jesus, give us more rain. Until we are wet, until we are soaked in the latter rain. It is raining all around me. I can feel it. The latter rain. Ride on Jesus. Give us more rain. Until we are wet, until we are soaked in the latter rain. Glory! Glory! The rain can come at a certain level and it moves you from the wilderness. And then you have a fruitful field. Maybe there's the grass. There are some grasses everywhere. But you see, if rain does not come even more, the fruitful field cannot become a forest. Listen, tell your neighbor, you need the move of the Spirit. Telling you. He says, until the Spirit be poured out from on high. Now, back to the account in Genesis. He says, before God even said, let there be light, the Spirit of God moved. You know, people who have been in church for long, you have heard about confession, right? And where did we get the principle of confession to make things happen? Was in Mark chapter 11, where Jesus was passing by the fig tree. And he wanted fruit from the fig tree. And when he got to the fig tree, there was no fruit. And then he said, from now henceforth, cursed be this tree. No man will eat fruit from thee anymore. And the Bible says the disciples heard him. You can open to Mark chapter 11 thereabout and see that account there. And the disciples heard him. And then some days later, maybe a week later or so, they came back and saw that this fig tree had been withered from the roots upwards. And they asked him, Master, that tree you cursed, it has withered. And Jesus said unto them, have faith in God. He says, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have those things which he said, right? That's what Jesus said. But many people talk about this verse, the verse of saying, if thou shalt believe in your heart and shall confess with your mouth, and all of this, you shall have whatsoever you see it. And we emphasize, see it. But they forget that before this verse, there was verse 22. Jesus said, have faith in God. The proper rendering of that verse is have the God kind of faith. Are you with me? When it says have faith in God, it's saying have the God kind of faith, meaning use the same principles of faith that God used. So, how did God create? God said, let there be light. God said, and there was light. God said, let there be this, and it was. But before God said, what happened? The Spirit moved. So, if your confession will have power, find out how to make the Holy Ghost move before you confess. Are you with me? And so, the Spirit of God moved, and he began to confess. We see that account in Genesis. Then when you go to Genesis chapter 2. Now, if you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, if you have read that account before, it says, and God said, and he saw. And God said, and he saw. But the Spirit of God moved first, right? Are you with me? The next one, it says, everybody read, 1, 2, 3, go. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. When you read this verse, what idea does it give you? It gives you that the idea that God had finished all creation, right? Right? Everybody read verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. Wait. So that means chapter 2 gives us more insight. I thought when God said, let there be trees, the trees just went. He's telling you that God, in God's mind, he had finished the work before it grew. Before he saw one tree grow. That means as at when God was saying and he was seeing, nothing had happened physically. Are you with me? So where were all those things in the spirit? So for him to create things in the spirit, there was a move first. Then he spoke, and the things that he spoke were created but domiciled in the spirit. That was move number one. Then he says, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. Oh, so the reason why the things that God had created had not manifested physically was because the second move had not happened. The rain had not come. Let me tell you something. If you confess, declare, pray, all of those things, if you don't activate the move of the Spirit, many of the things you are saying, that is if they were even created at all, because there was a first move for it to be created, right? And there was a second move for it to be manifested. If you don't know how to partner with it, you may be saying for years and wondering what is happening. After me, the move of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. And then, when he caused, now, we are going to see how the rain will come, and let's read on. Genesis 2. Now, everybody read the next one. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Oh, there was a mist from the earth that now became rain that watered the whole face of the ground. You know, I'm going to come to this. So quickly, what are the kinds of move of the Spirit? I was just opening that for you to see how important this move of the Spirit is. So, how does the move of the Spirit happen, or the types of the move of the Spirit? There is a move of the Spirit by supernatural power, and there is a move of the Spirit by supernatural events. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, the Bible says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. According as his divine power. Say after me, divine power. The Greek word there is dunamis. The move of the Spirit by divine power. Where you stir up the power of God and the power of God is working. Praise the Lord. Mary said unto the angel, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Then the angel replied to her. He says, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So there is the move of the Spirit by divine power. And there is a move of the Spirit by supernatural events. And in this particular service, I want to emphasize on that. The move of the Spirit by supernatural events. Many times, even the move of the Spirit and supernatural events are linked with the supernatural power. So, many people are used to being in a service like we just had as we're worshiping, and people are worshiping and crying and following out the power, and they go back home and say, ah, God moved though. Kai, when Minister Soso was ministering, Kai, God moved. But there's another move of the Spirit that I want to reemphasize, because it is important for what is happening currently. Is the move of the Spirit by supernatural events. This type of move of the Spirit, you have to have the eyes of God to see it happening. Because many events will be happening and it will even look like the free will of man, but actually it's the hand of God involved. The entire Bible is a compendium of the move of the Spirit by supernatural events. And this is a move of the Spirit you must desire strongly. If your life will count, you must desire it strongly. What do you think made David to be sent to the battlefield where his brothers was at the time when Goliath was shouting? Why was he sent? Why didn't they send him very early in the morning when all the soldiers were resting? Why was he sent that time? Are you with me? Why was he sent to the battlefield that time? And he got to the battlefield and he heard Goliath's voice and wanted to respond. Do you know that if he was sent at a time when Goliath was not talking, he may never have known that there was a giant there. He would deliver the food and go home. But somehow, by divine coincidence or providence, Jesse said, go by this time. Go and give them food. And then he heard Goliath speaking. And he challenged Goliath, and the motion for him to become king, that was where everybody began to know him. You see, all those activities happening was the move of the Spirit. Are you following me? What the brothers could not connect. In fact, I don't even think David was able to connect that, because oil had come on his head from that time henceforth, things began to happen. Are you following this? The move of the Spirit by supernatural events. Why was Joseph sold to slavery? In fact, why was he sold and intentionally sold to Potiphar's house? Do you know that if he was sold to any other person's house, When he was accused of something wrong, he might have been taken to the common prison. But he was taken to the prison where Pharaoh's prisoners were. Are you following this? That was the move of the spirit. You were sold to prison and you went to Potiphar's house. And Potiphar was related to the king. So, anytime Potiphar had prisoners, he would send them to where the king's prisoners are. That's the move of the spirit. And then, when he was sent to prison, why was he sent to prison the same time that Pharaoh's former cupbearer was in prison? Why was he not sent before he was brought in? Or after he had left? Can you say after me, there is prophecy over me? Oh, say after me, there is prophecy over me. I'm saying this because the Lord is asking me to tell many of you, you are not here by mistake. Many of the events happening in your life is not happening by mistake. Oh, I applied for this. I tried to get this. I was disappointed here. One of the things you will do, if you are going to walk in this, I'm saying, you will learn to pray prayers like this. Lord, it's all working for my good. Can you say after me, in the name of Jesus? Every event of my life orchestrated for my good. Orchestrated for my destiny. Amen. Glory. That's the move of the spirit. Praise the Lord. So quickly, how do I activate the move of the spirit? Number one, especially when it has to do with supernatural events, you will have to be available to God. Because the move of the spirit is because God has a plan. God has a plan. God has a plan. You know, when we opened the church in Abuja, one of the members of the church was sharing with me a very humbling testimony. You know, there are testimonies you hear. Now, it's not testimony of car, money, house, and all those kind of things. When she was sharing the testimony, I was afraid. After the testimony, I went to God and said, God, please help me to fulfill all that you have said. She said when she was in JS1, more than 10, 15 years ago, Pastor Kine, you are with me. She had one dream repeatedly almost 30 times. Every time she would be in the dream, and God would tell her, you are part of a city that is coming from Port Harcourt. One of the signs that you know that city is the one I've sent you to, there will be a man called David. From Port Harcourt, he will come to Abuja and you'll be part of that city. You did hear talk. Only God knows where I was that time in this life. But you see, there was a divine script. And so, God has a script. And from time to time, he's looking. Who can I use to fulfill what is in this script? Are you with me? So, the Bible says, and the Lord searched for a man and found David, who will fulfill all his will. When did he find David? He found David when Saul was still on the throne. Oh my God. If you study the life of David and Saul, you see, we're going to pray today and you will pray this prayer very seriously. As at when Saul was king, the Bible says that Saul ruled for 40 years. As at when Saul was leaving the throne and David was crowned, was anointed king of Israel, David was 30. That means minus 30 from 40. As at when Saul started ruling, David was 10 years old. And Saul misbehaved after 2 years of his reign. So when God said he found David, David was 12. Oh my God. I don't know if what I'm saying is entering your head. When God said he found David, when Samuel was crying to God and saying, Lord, Saul has failed. When are we going to find the king? God told him, don't worry. I found somebody. David was 12 years old doing his own business. And God said, okay, that guy will mark him. That means right now, every time, every day, as you wake up in the morning, there are meetings that go on in heaven and God's looking for who can I use to fulfill this thing. Oh my God. Tell me I will be available. So, How do you position yourself for things like this? You say, oh God. You learn to say prayers like this. Lord, help me to do your will. Can you say after me? Lord, help me to do your will. I will be available to do your will. Your will is my command. Your wish is my command. Your glory is my passion. And then God marks you. Then all of a sudden, New Breed opens a church close to where you are. Before you know what is happening, something just happens. Many of you know what I'm talking about. When New Breed started, then we are in a classroom, one 25-seater classroom. And after a while, we go to evangelize. Even people will insult us, yeah, who are these people? Some people say a student church. They say, what's wrong with that guy? And after a while, many people started having encounters. And gradually, the move of the Spirit started dragging them one by one. One by one, one by one, one by one. Some of them will see me in the dream. All kinds of things started happening. God began to move. By the time the church was 6 months old, God had moved from Port Harcourt and moved to Lagos. People started having encounters. Our Lagos brethren in the house shout, glory!
Glory!
Like that. And now it's 5 years, we are like, so God, this is how, wait. So, this is what you are planning since? So after me, Lord, I will be available. Now, many will say, okay, God is not doing much with my life. It looks like let me tell you, if you start today and make up your mind that, Lord, I will be available for you, what God will make out of your life in the next 5 years, you have no telling. I'm telling you. Look at Abraham. Abraham was already 75. His father was a worshiper of idols. And God just said, you know what? I want to start a new lineage. Let me try Abraham. Do you realize that God, what God started with Abraham, God actually wanted to start with his father. Do you know that? You know, some of you, what God is trying to do with your life is what he was trying to do with your parents, your grandparents, great-grandparents that did not prosper, but it must prosper with you.
Yeah.
Maybe we should look at Genesis 11, verse 32. I'm just using style to announce that there is a sound in the spirits. God is blowing another generation. Here. Now that another move of the Spirit is coming, enter. Step in! Tell your neighbor, step in. Me, I'm standing here. I'm the result of a move of the Spirit. Something that happened many years ago. Praise the Lord. Genesis 11. 1, 2, 3, go. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from all the Chaldees to go into the land of... This should get your attention. That means, before Abraham even thought about himself going to Canaan, God had begun this journey with his father, Terah. Are you with me? The Bible says, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. They came to Haran and did what? But that was not the plan. The original plan was to go into Canaan. You see, sometimes if you are going to really fulfill this thing, you have to say, what is the will of God? And follow it to the letter. Don't let comfort distract you. What is God saying? If you are going to be part of this move, this thing that God is stirring within your generation, what is God saying? How will I connect to it completely? I won't allow any comfort zone. I won't allow anything distract me. If this is what God is saying, I follow it. Oh my God. I remember when I was working in the oil industry and God was like, you must resign now. There are many people I went to meet and they said, you resign? You want to resign and do what? It's not everybody that must resign. No. Me, I'm telling you the way God led me. Amen. The amount of people, if I listen to that talk, No. I would have been collecting check and checked out of destiny. I'm telling you. What God has done in 5 years is obvious. It's obvious. It has to be the hand of God. I was telling them on Sunday, without the help of God, we stand no chance. Are you with me? He came to all of the Chaldees. See, after me, I will do the will of God. Some of you, God may be stirring something in your spirit. You just have that stare. You just have that stare. For instance, let me disturb Auntie so small. In my spirit, many years ago, I have told her, I said, as long as I'm alive, I will make sure this woman sings. Are you with me? Were you not blessed when she was singing? From the very first stanza she started singing, I said, I will make sure this woman sings. Nothing will stop it. Praise the Lord. So that you will step out of that comfort zone. And say after me, I will step out of my comfort zone and fulfill God's plan for my life. Because God has a script for you. When you step into that script, gradually the Holy Ghost begins to play along. After a while, things begin to happen. You enter into the move, the stirring of God. Praise the Lord. For instance, look at Moses. Do you know? God told, I've shared that many times, but let me share it again here. God told Abraham, your children will spend 400 years in a strange land, right? How many years did they spend? The Bible says they spent 430 years. And the Bible also says that Moses was 40 years old when he ran away from Egypt, right? And spent 40 years later and came back. Now, minus 40 from 430. That's 390. That means that time when Moses was being stirred to go and kill the Egyptian and begin to feed the Israelite, it was 10 years to the 400-year mark. It was just 10 years left to fulfill that 400-year mark. That means sometimes the stirring of God in your heart may be God moving you in his divine plan. Chapter 8, the move of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. I can just imagine. So when Moses was just being stirred, he had been in Pharaoh's house since so. Then he just came out one day and said, these people are Hebrews. They cannot just be like this. I want to free them. To him, he was just trying to emancipate the Hebrews. He did not know. He may not have known that God promised his forefather. Are you with me? God has promised Abraham they will spend 400 years. And it was just 10 years to the end of that 400-year mark. But guess what? The people did not understand. And they fought him. And Moses did not even know the prophecy and he ran away. So there is a move of the Spirit that comes because men follow the plan and the will of God. Secondly, another way to stir the move of the Spirit is by prayer. Say after me, fervent prayer. Ah, my God. They are not saying it like you understand what I just said. Say after me, fervent prayer. Many times, God will stir you up to pray when you are close to the time of destiny. So, when it is close to a time where God's plan is coinciding with your readiness to fulfill it, he'll begin to stir you to pray. Some of you have had this experience where at a certain season in your life, you wake up in the night. You don't understand. You cannot sleep again. The next night, you wake up again. Three nights after, you wake up again. Usually, it is because there is a move coming and God is trying to tell you, prepare. Prepare. Have you ever heard people talk about near miracle syndrome? Oh. There are many things that cause it. One of the things that causes lack of prayers before the time. So God can see that, okay, something is coming. So he'll begin to stir you up to pray. But the devil also sees that something is coming. So when we say the move of the Spirit is not even just the move of God's Spirit. It's also the move of Satan. Why do you think that it was when Jesus was born, somehow Herod was just stirred? Let's kill all those children. How can a king be born? Are you with me? The devil knew that, oh, he saw the calendar. Jesus was being born. Let's find a way to cut out God's plan. And so he moved to Herod. Herod was securing his kingdom, but to Satan, he was destroying God's plan. Are you with me? So one of the ways to step in and secure the move of the Spirit is fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. You are praying. You are praying. After a while, when you begin to pray like that, the prayer now begins to condition you to take the steps that make you relevant at that time. Pastor, I'm trusting God for this open door. I don't know why. No, no worries. Stop. No problem. You have been trying. They have been disappointing you. Start praying. 2 months, 3 months. A time will come. You come under divine conditioning. Let me show you something. and then we'll pray. We'll pray and close. And then worship. Amen. The Bible says, in Luke chapter 2 verse 25, when Jesus was born, the Bible says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Can we put it on the screen? Everybody read on with me. 1, 2, 3, go. And the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. That word waiting there is already symbolic of prayer. He was waiting for something spiritual. Are you with me? And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. Read on. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, now let us, thou thy servant, depart in peace according to thy word. Read on. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Go back a little bit. Go back to verse 27. The Bible says, and he came by the Spirit. Why was he able to be brought in by the Spirit? It was because he was praying. So because he was praying, the Holy Ghost was upon him. When it was time for him to meet Christ, they did not give him invite. Somehow, God just moved him. I can imagine him being in the house that morning. And then he was just like, stand up. Move. Maybe he did not even hear a voice. Maybe he just said, let me just go and get bread from there. Unleavened bread from there. And he stood up. And he was going to get unleavened bread. And then he just said, maybe I should just check in the temple. Let me see if I will see Zedekiah and somebody inside this place. Only for him to get there and meet the Lord Christ. I pray for you as you pray right now. Unconscious competence becomes your reality. Where even when you don't know, ah, my God. Even when you don't know, God begins to move over your life. How did I go to the university? I had a friend. We spent holiday together. And then, one Sunday, after my WAEC in 2009, I just had a pull in my heart. I told my mom, I just feel I should go and see the father of that my friend. So my mom said, okay, you can go. So I went to see the man and just went to greet him and said, he said, hey, where have you been? I've been looking for you. What's your plan for school? I said, I don't know. He said, what's your plan? I said, I've applied to a polytechnic. And there's nothing wrong with to go into a polytechnic. Are you with me? There's nothing wrong. He said, I applied to a polytechnic. That's the polytechnic, Abraka. He said, okay. He said, I want you to go to Covenant University. I said, now when I joke. I was just smiling like, you know those kind of things where they ask, they say, Lord, can these bones live? Then you say, Lord, thou know it. So I said, okay, I heard you, sir. He said, you know what? Can you take a flight tomorrow? I'm like, I called my mom. I said, mom, please, can you come? By the next day, 8 a.m., I was in Lagos. See, you know, by the grace of God, I've known the Lord for a long time. I got born again August 2005. So, in hindsight, as at then, I did not even know it was God. But right now, in hindsight, when I look at everything, I know it's God. Oh, it's God. I look back at everything, and that was how I got into that university. That week, the week I entered the school, I was in my room doing something. Somebody just came and I was praying and said, can I talk to you? Within 3 minutes, I ministered to him. By Sunday, 7 days in that school, I was ministering to the entire school. By the end of the next semester, they carried me to see Bishop Oyedepo. They said, there's a mad boy you need to see. Come. They carried me and I was talking, explaining some things in front of him. By the time I was in 300 level, I was mentoring half of the school. In hindsight, that was an intentional move of the Spirit for everything happening today. Oh, I'm telling you. I look back and say, oh, so what if that day I did not go to that man's house when I did? You know, people don't know the the cost of walking out of God's plan. They don't know. Because you don't know the amount of activities God orchestrated for some things to happen. Then the person just bolts out. God has to start again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're going to pray. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. Everywhere I have walked out of your will, carried away with my own desires, not conscious of your will, not conscious of Christ, and I've walked out of your plan, Lord, I receive mercy. Lord, I receive restoration. You know, I was reading the story about the great man of God, Evan Roberts, and the revival in Wales and Welsh, the Welsh revival. A young man called Evan Roberts gathered 14 people, 14 young people like himself, and began to pray. All their prayer was, oh God, bend us. Bend us and cause repentance. Bend us and cause repentance. And for 3 years, 4 years, they were praying every day, oh God, break a revival. Bend us. And gradually, the Holy Ghost broke out. And things began to happen. Let me tell you, when God finds a man through which he can reveal Christ and bring salvation of souls, God will begin to align. Everything can change in one day. Eventually, I have seen that the reason why God did everything he did in my life was because he wanted to reach a new generation. Oh, I'm telling you. I say this with all humility. Everybody that was in school when I was in school, by 500 level, Pastor Eni, you remember. By 500 level. I remember one particular time. Somebody will say, do you know the video? The person will say, no. He say, you are not a Christian. You are not a Christian. The plan was to get a massive harvest of souls. Have you caught a dream for Christ? Have you caught a dream? Many people, they want car. They want house. They want money. They want breakthrough. Let me tell you, if you catch a dream for Christ, all the tools required to get it done, God will give you. All the tools required to get it done, God will give you. I'm telling you. Tell your neighbor, catch a dream for Christ. When you walk on the road and you see souls languishing in sin, what goes through your mind? Because the move of the Spirit is for that. When God begins to move in your life, is to make you a suitable platform to reach out to the lost. Are you hearing me? There are many of you that God will make billionaires for the gospel. Oh yes, oh yes. When God sees your heart, the move will start. In that school that you are, in that university that you are, Lord, I want school fees. Lord, I want this. Let me tell you, if you start thinking about how can Christ spread in this school, how can I get these students to hear about Jesus? Let me tell you, strange things will begin to happen. I'm telling you, you know, the great missionary, Pat Elton, came to this country and prophesied and said a day is coming that the Nigerian government will pay young people to go to the rural areas and preach the gospel. When he gave that prophecy in 1968, it looked like it was not possible. It was just shortly after this Nigerian Civil War. It was not possible. How would the Nigerian government be paying young people to preach about Jesus? 10 years later, 1978, they started NYSC. Not too long after that, they started NSCCF. Not too long after that, they started Rural Rugged and started going to villages to preach the gospel. You see, that was the move of the Spirit. Are you seeing this? And there are many of you that if you can catch a dream for Christ, God will begin to position you. I want you to pray fervently. Say after me, Lord, set my heart on fire for Christ. Set my heart on fire with a passion for Jesus. I cannot keep on going on. Christ means nothing to you. You cannot keep on going on. You are just satisfied being a regular church member. You need to open up your heart. How can men experience Christ through me? When you become a suitable platform, the move will begin to start. I will catch a dream for Jesus. I will catch a dream for Jesus. When you go on Twitter and you see young people misbehaving, what goes through your mind?